Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul. Friends,
welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevan Zwelder.
Today we're going to study John chapter 12, verses 2 through 8. John chapter 12, verses 2 through 8. Now while we study this passage, keep in mind the topic. Love and hatred. Love and hatred. Let's read. There they made him a supper. Now where there is Bethany, and where Lazarus had been dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not that he cared for the poor, but because he was a thief, and had the bag, and bare what was therein, or what was put therein. Then said Jesus, Let her alone. Against the day of my burying hath she kept this. For the poor always ye have with you, but me ye have not always. Now, in this particular passage of Scripture, you see the epitome of love in Mary anointing the feet of Jesus with spikenard, and you see the epitome of hatred with Judas Iscariot, who didn't even care for the poor, questioning why she had wasted the ointment. Very interesting contrast here in the same little passage that we want to study today. Now, it is kind of interesting. If you'll remember, there was a time earlier that the Lord Jesus Christ had been with Mary and Martha and Lazarus back in Luke chapter 10. And Martha was put out about having to serve. If you'll remember, in Luke chapter 10, verse 38, it came to pass, as they went, they entered into a certain village. A certain woman named Martha received him into her house. She had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. And that was one of their early meetings. And it's interesting to see how over time the roles of Mary and Martha really didn't change. Martha was still in the kitchen, and Mary was still at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even when Lazarus died and Jesus came to the city, Martha was the one that ran out first to meet him and said, If thou had been here, my brother had not died. And they had the discourse about Jesus being the resurrection and the life. He went back and said, The master is here and calleth for thee. And then Mary went out. She's the very tender-hearted one. That's the one when she went out, the other people wept and Jesus wept and she had her tears and all that kind of stuff. It's just a very tender, tender woman. And she loved the Lord Jesus Christ. So at this supper, Martha served, just like she had back there in Luke chapter 10. And Mary was the one that anointed the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice this time, Martha's not all bent out of shape about where Mary is. And she's happy to serve. Had it in the right perspective. Did it for the glory of God. I mean, after all, they were going to eat, and Lazarus was sitting at the table, and Jesus was sitting at the table, so somebody had to serve. So it all worked out. But in this particular case, Mary had a pound of ointment, you know, 16 ounces of spikenard that she anointed Jesus with. Now, spikenard is an aromatic ointment and sometimes used as a medicine. So it would be a great aroma, and 16 ounces of it, a whole pound of it, put on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ would indeed fill the house where they were with the odor of the ointment. And not only that, John tells us that this ointment was very costly. Now, we're going to do some parallel passages here. We're going to also look at Mark, who records this event, and we're going to look at Matthew, who records this event. And one of the things we want to notice right away from Matthew's account and Mark's account is that this didn't take place at the home of Lazarus and Martha and Mary. It may appear that way from reading John, but actually this took place at another house, perhaps a friend of theirs' house, obviously a friend, if Lazarus is there at the table and Martha is comfortable enough to be serving in the kitchen. Matthew chapter 26, verse 6 says, when Jesus was in Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper. So this supper was taking place actually at somebody else's house, at the house of Simon the leper. Mark says the same thing in Mark chapter 4, verse 3, being in Bethany in the house of Simon the leper, he sat at meat when the woman came. Now, this pound of spikenard, the Bible says in John chapter 12, verse 3, was very costly. Very costly. Okay, we can find out how much this spikenard would have cost based upon how Judas Iscariot and the disciples value the box of ointment. In other words, they're going to put a price tag on it when they see what happens. But it's very costly. And according to John, Mary anoints the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. So in John's account, we only know so much that she was very humble to be with him and to pour this on his feet and to wipe his feet with her hair and to fill the house with the odor of that ointment. We find out from the parallel passages here in Matthew and in Mark that this ointment was in an alabaster box. Matthew chapter 26, verse 7. In the house of Simon the leper, there came unto him a woman having an alabaster box of very precious ointment and poured it on his head as he sat at meat. All right, so we get a little more information from looking at the passage there in Matthew. Also, we get a little more information looking in the passage in Mark, Mark chapter 14, verse 3. He sat at meat, there came a woman having an alabaster box of ointment of spikenard, very precious. She broke the box and poured it on his head. So in these three companion passages, then, we find supplemental information that gives us a lot of information about what took place. The alabaster box. Alabaster is a compact, fine-textured, usually white gypsum used for carving. So this would have been a really precious box, a carved box. You know, it reminds me of a small jewelry box that a woman would have had carved, very ornate-looking thing, but it was a soft enough stone to carve, but a hard enough stone to hold the ointment that was inside, and also it was dense enough, not so porous, it was dense enough to hold the odoriferous ointment, the spikenard that was inside of it, so that none of the ointment inside of it would have leaked out until she broke the box. And when she broke the box, she poured the ointment on his head and also anointed his feet and then wiped her feet with her hair. You know, back in Luke chapter 7, we saw a similar event at Simon the Pharisee's house. Now, that would have been in or near Nain, up in the area of Galilee. This takes place in Bethany, right outside of Jerusalem, down in Judea. And there, the woman cried, you know, had the box there, and she wiped his feet with her hair and washed his feet with her tears. And this was a thing where when a person would come into a house to eat with somebody, it would have been a very nice thing, a very regal thing, a very wonderful thing to wash the feet of the guest and anoint their head with oil. As a matter of fact, when Jesus Christ was talking to Simon the Pharisee about what the woman was doing, because he was offended that Jesus would let this woman who was a sinner touch his feet, Jesus Christ spoke to Simon and he said, "I entered into thine house, thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head." And they would have done that because walking in sandals and so forth, the dust of the roads and paths would have certainly dirtied the feet. And then in verse 45 of Luke chapter 7, Jesus said, "Thou gavest me no kiss, this woman since the time that I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment." So anointing the head and washing the feet was a very wonderful thing to do for a guest that came, obviously. And Mary anointed the head of the Lord Jesus Christ with the spikenard that was in the alabaster box and anointed his feet. And this was a great and wonderful expression of her love for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when she did this, some have said that the alabaster box containing this ointment would have been for a special occasion, like something that she would have done for her husband when she married. Something like that. Something that the woman would have kept and only would have used in the case of a very, 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 very special occasion. And that may be so. We know something from here that the woman, Mary, would have used this for the Lord Jesus Christ to demonstrate her great love that she had for the Lord Jesus Christ. Tremendous love. Poured it on his head, anointed his feet, and then wiped his feet with her hair. Now, we know that this thing was very costly. As a matter of fact, that's what the Bible said in John chapter 12, verse 3, about this spikenard. Very costly. As a matter of fact, when Judas became critical and spoke against what she had done, he said, "Why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor?" The disciples, when they picked up Judas Iscariot's taunting, said, "Why was it not sold for much and given to the poor?" And in Mark, they even said, "Sold for more than 300 pence and given to the poor," in Mark chapter 14, verse 5. All right, so average it then, and value this at 300 pence, if you will. You'll remember from Matthew chapter 20 that when the day laborers went into the vineyard to work for the husbandman, he offered them a penny a day to work in his vineyard. So a penny would be equivalent to an entire day's wage. When Jesus Christ fed the 5,000, Philip said 200 penny worth of bread would not be sufficient, that they might all take a little. It wouldn't even be enough to feed them to fullness. It would just give them a little bit. And that would have to be enough bread. Each penny would have to buy enough bread to feed 5,000 men plus the wives and children. All right, so at least 25 men would have to be fed by the bread you could buy with a penny, plus their wives and children. I don't know how many loaves that comes to, but the bottom line is, it is a day's wage. Well, so what she's got here is she's got something that is valued at 300 pence. or 300 days' wage. Now, I haven't figured it out in my head, but if you have 365 days in a year, and 2 days out of every week is a day off, or days off for the Saturday and Sunday, and there would be 104 of those in a year, then you would be left with 261 days that somebody could work. So this is more than a year's wage. Now, put it in that perspective, and you are dealing with something that is worth a great deal of money. So she spared no expense, no humility when she bowed before him and wiped his feet with her hair. And the most precious thing she could do in breaking the box, because she gave it all, she wasn't planning on just dipping in there and getting a little bit and putting a little bit on his head and a little bit on his feet. She broke the box. It was over. She had decided this is where she was going to use this for all time to come. Right on the head and feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I look at that and I ask myself the question, Welder, do you love him that much that you would give something that would cost you more than a year's salary? What would that be, about a year and a third, or a year and a quarter, something like that? Would you do that, a year and a month, a year and 2 months, something like that, and give all that to the Lord Jesus Christ? You know, the funny thing about Christianity is that the Bible says, my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. And the Lord Jesus Christ has applied your need so much today. You have a roof over your head. You have air conditioning. You have a job. You've got a vehicle that runs. And you've got your health for the most part. And everything provided. A home in heaven, a mansion, your eternal security, your salvation, the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ to cleanse you from your sin. The ability to approach his throne in prayer, mercy, grace, joy, peace, love of the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got everything. And you're having right now the hardest time in the world paying 10% of your annual salary to help the Lord's work. Now, you know me, we never ask for money, and I don't bring it up there. I'm trying to put something in perspective for you. You can't give him 10%. Of what he's given you in a year, and Mary gave him an entire year and one or two more months worth of ointment and put it on his body, and in just a few days, five more days, he was going to be dead. That's some love. That is a tremendous amount of love. Now, he loved you enough to give his life for you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. He gave his life for you. And you can't give him back what's already his. People say, I'm offended when in the New Testament we talk about the tithe. You know what? Abraham gave him 10% before there ever was a law concerning a tithe. And in Leviticus, he defined that 10% as the Lord's. The tithe is the Lord's. So you go follow whoever you want to follow. If you want to listen to that guy that follows our broadcast, and he tells you all that stuff is under the law and runs down half the Bible because he doesn't believe it. Let me tell you something. In the New Testament, they never talked about it because the Bible says God loveth a cheerful giver, and a man wasn't supposed to give grudgingly or of necessity. And when they had occasion to give, they sold land, they sold houses, they sold possessions, and they gave it all. And when one man tried to trick him and didn't give it all, Ananias and Sapphira, he died right on the spot. And great fear came on the congregation. Let me tell you something. Those people knew something about giving back in those days. What's wrong with our generation? We have more in the way of possessions than ever before, and you're tighter than ever before. I don't understand that. But Mary did, and Mary demonstrated a great deal of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. You got it? It's a great thing that she did. And she anointed his body like that. And he said, she did this for my burial. Why? Because there wasn't going to be time. He died at 3 o'clock on Wednesday afternoon, as we showed you yesterday. And by the time Joseph of Arimathea went to Pilate and begged the body, got some spices and wound up his body and got with Nicodemus to bury him before 6 o'clock, they didn't have time to properly anoint his body. This was the occasion. Boy, you talk about great. That is wonderful, man. That is outstanding. That is absolutely, that's glorious. Absolutely glorious. All right, now, look at this. Look at this. With all this love, and Jesus Christ said, you want to know something about what this woman has done? Everywhere in the world this gospel is preached, this that she hath done will be spoken of her. Why? Because she did what she could. She hath done what she could. Have you done what you can for the Lord Jesus Christ? If not, do it. One of these days he'll be coming soon. We all know that. Do what you can for him before he gets here, just like Mary did what she could for him before he died. Amen? All right, now, the antithesis, the contrast, is Judas Iscariot. Judas Iscariot, the traitor. God had given him everything. God had given him the gifts even to make the eyes of the blind to see and to heal the sick and to raise the dead and cleanse the lepers and all that kind of thing. What did Judas do? Judas looked at him with indignation, looked at her with indignation. Judas Iscariot is the one that brought it up. Then saith one of his disciples, Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which should betray him, why was not this ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor? This he said, not because he cared for the poor. He didn't care. He said it because he was a thief and had the bag and bare what was therein. He spouted off like that. And you know what it did? It sent a wave through the rest of the disciples. The Bible shows us in Matthew chapter 26 that the disciples saw what she did. And you know Judas Iscariot's the one that got this thing started up. He's the one who was getting ready to betray him anyway. When his disciples saw it, they had indignation, saying, to what purpose is this waste? I'll tell you what, a gift to the Lord Jesus Christ like she gave is not a waste. Never has been. Set your affection on things above and not on things on the earth. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Some people say, I just don't sense love in the Lord Jesus Christ like I should. Well, your treasure's in the wrong place according to the Bible then. There was no waste, but they had indignation. You know what indignation is? Indignation is an anger at something that is unjust or wrong. It is a feeling of wrath as when a person is exasperated by unworthy or unjust treatment. That's what that is. That's like getting exasperated when somebody gets a real raw deal in court when they know they're innocent, you know they're innocent, the world knows they're innocent. I'll tell you what it's like. It's like the feeling of exasperation people are having right now where the Supreme Court of the United States of America and the judicial system of the United States of America says it's all right for two queer men to marry, but it's not all right to have the Ten Commandments posted in a courtroom. That kind of indignation. That's indignation. And these disciples had indignation at the voice of Judas Iscariot, who said they should have sold it. It's a waste. Why wasn't it given to the poor? He didn't even care for the poor. This ointment might have been sold for much and given to the poor. Jesus said, what are you troubling this woman for? Why trouble you this woman? Why call this thing a waste? They murmured against her and had indignation for what she had done. And Jesus said what she did is going to be spoken of her everywhere this gospel is preached and as long as it's preached. Judas Iscariot. You know something? He didn't care. He just had indignation. He didn't care. He was a thief. He didn't care. He had the bag. He didn't care. He bare what was therein and troubled her. And made a nuisance out of a great expression of love before the Lord Jesus Christ right before he died on the cross. That low down, no good, sorry traitor. You know something? Judas Iscariot is dead. That's true. But the likes of Judas Iscariot are not dead. There are all kinds of people that still run around and see the great things that are done out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And they look at you and they say, you're a fanatic. You're crazy. Why would you do a thing like that? They don't care. They're like Judas. You know something? Jesus said what she did would be spoken for as a memorial for her. And it has been. You've just heard about it today. Again. Nearly 2,000 years after it took place. It's a strange thing, but What Mary did has been noted about the Lord Jesus Christ right up until this day. Nobody's forgotten about it. And it's a strange thing, but nobody's forgotten about what Judas Iscariot did either. What he said, what he did, is spoken of as a memorial against him. Right here, he planted a seed of indignation in the heart of the disciples, which undoubtedly contributed to their scattering when they got scared in the Garden of Gethsemane. They saw Jesus Christ getting ready to go to his death. Peter, in his zeal, had cut off Malchus's ear. Jesus told him, put it away and heal that servant's ear. It offended Peter. He said, well, what's the use? This man won't even defend himself. But you see, a seed had been planted by Judas Iscariot in their hearts way back here, 5 days before the experience in Gethsemane, when they had indignation against this woman and marvel that Jesus Christ would accept something so precious as this ointment on his body. You know, I'm going to tell you what we need to see from this. You might be dissatisfied personally with something you see your preacher doing out of zeal for his congregation and for the Lord Jesus Christ. And you might think it was no big deal, and when you expressed yourself kind of under your breath to a few of your friends in the church and said, "What? I'm out of indignation. What was this waste all about?" Here your pastor's trying to do something out of love for the Lord Jesus Christ, and you set off a little seed of indignation, and the next thing you know, you got the congregation murmuring against the Lord Jesus Christ and the work of the Holy Spirit in your pastor, and the next thing you know, they've got indignation against a man of God, all because of your foul, cruel, unholy, unloving mouth. You say, preacher, you are meddling now. You have gone to roughing up feathers. Let me tell you something. Judas Iscariot didn't die out. He's in churches all over the United States of America. Let me tell you something. If you've got a Judas Iscariot betrayer in your church who's got a foul mouth and wants to tear down every good thing that seems to be going on in the church, don't listen to him. Don't follow his lead. Follow the lead of Mary. Run to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ. Humble yourself before him and fall back in love with him and forget the nonsense of those that have indignation against the work of God. Amen. Amen.
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my3bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Ranmorgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.